Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552, or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Jimmy Hahn got his start in the music business through his childhood friend Michael Sherwood and toured with Michael's father, Bobby Sherwood, a jazz band. And at 15 years old, playing jazz standards and hits of the day. Too young to go into the lounges, they toured. The boys were forced to sit backstage between shows and work up their own brand of music. Out of this came first their first band, Logic, and later Michael's younger brother, Billy Sherwood, would take over the role as a bass player. They released an album in 1985 on A&M Records, produced by David Paich and Steve Porcaro of the group Toto. Some touring followed by opening for Supertramp in the mid-80s. Thanks to Steve Lukather, Hahn got some gigs working as a studio musician, playing on numerous recordings. Around this time, Hahn met Michael Ruff and did some West Coast touring, where he then met Sheryl Crow, who was singing backup for Ruff, and joined one of her first bands. Hahn went on to play much of the guitar on Yes's 1991 album Union before Work in the Key with Billy Sherwood and the Chris Squire Experiment with Sherwood and Chris Squire. He also did session work for Air Supply, Kitaro, and John and Vangelis during this period. I got involved with Yes producer Jonathan Elias and started composing music for TV and film. 96, Hahn composed the Mandalay Pictures logo. Hahn worked extensively with Elias, including his American River album, but also on music for commercials. Hahn created the original Yodel logo for Yahoo in 1996, as well as the voice for Expedia.com. Hahn rejoined Sherwood in the Yes spinoff supergroup, Circa, formed in 2006, also with Tony Kaye, of ex-Yes member, and initially, and Alan White, currently of Yes. Sherwood, Kaye, and Hahn were also in Yoso with singer Bobby Kimball. Yoso subsequently disbanded and Hahn left Circa to focus on commercial work. Hahn composed the music for film Boulevard starring Robin Williams. He also credited with producing and singing the end song Goodbye Joy. In 2006, Hahn played the majority of the guitars on Steve Porcaro's solo album Someday, Somehow. Hahn's father was singer Jim Hahn, better known as Ruvan. Jimmy Hahn's daughter is the actress and singer Lindsay Hahn, and he has worked with her on her music career. Please welcome legendary guitarist, composer, and producer Jimmy Hahn to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm good, man.
They were going wild. But that was quite a story, man.
Well, you had a lot happening.
Yeah. It sounds, you know, we're pretty much done, I think.
Let's move on.
Yeah. No.
It's pretty cool growing up in a musical family, you know, the way you did. We were just talking offline about, Billy Sherwood and his dad. And, you know, he was in Vegas and your dad was in Vegas. And I talked to Billy Sherwood also. Did you ever meet Milton Berle as Godfather?
I met Milton once at the studio that we were recording at. He'd come in to do some sort of, voice dub for something.
Right.
And I was able to meet him, but, you know, it really couldn't say much to him, but, yeah, he was a friend of the family's. And actually, Milton, it's funny, it called our house one time, and this was back in the late 60s, because his old friend, Edith, was our housekeeper. Like, she was our nanny.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and she was also a musician, you know. And anyway, Edith also was the Sherwood's housekeeper before she was our housekeeper. But she was great friends with Milton and Jack Benny, and actually Jack Benny, which was my dad's West Coast fan club president.
Yeah, I heard that. Huh.
So there's like a tie-in with those guys, you know.
I've always known you showbiz people are all connected somehow.
Yeah. Once you start digging a little deeper, you know. Everybody's all together. It's really funny.
It's amazing.
You know, my dad knew Billy's dad very well, and his mom. So they were friends before we were friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I understand, and, you know, your dad's first vocal coach, was it Mario Chamley?
Mario Chamley.
Chamley. Yeah. And he succeeded Caruso at the Metropolitan Opera in the 1920s, yep. And then your dad studied with Mario Silva, who was a voice coach of Mario Lanza. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and actually, the Lanza family loved my father's voice.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they helped promote him, you know, in that way. They would come to the shows, his ex-wife, and her name escapes me, but, yeah, they were really big fans of his voice. It was very close to Mario Lanza's quality, and, you know,
right.
And I think it really reminded them a lot of Mario Lanza. So, and, you know, my dad, when he'd come on stage, they would announce, they'd say, first it was the great Caruso, then the unforgettable Mario Lanza, now it's Roland. That was his big send on, you know.
Yeah.
So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And he never considered himself an opera singer.
Right.
It was, he always said, I'm just a singer of songs, but he could do opera really, really well.
Yeah.
You know, he had that big, big voice.
You know, I think he's right, though, but because he does a lot of standards. I listened to him on YouTube. He did a Tom Jones song. A lot of standards. So he could go either way, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. And my mom always says this, his recordings were never quite captured.
Right.
You know, his energy. Like I have live recordings that are, like, blow those things away.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, I suppose some of them, you know. But, yeah, I know what she's saying. Like, a lot of times the music in those albums over, you know, it's too loud for his vocal. And
right.
His vocal just seems a little weak.
I agree.
What it should be, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That'd be cool if you can release some new music by him.
Yeah.
Somehow. That'd be great.
Yeah, like I said, I've got all these old recordings, these acetates, mm-hmm. of concerts of his.
Awesome.
You know, so that would be kind of cool, like a live album, you know.
Be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for some live stuff on YouTube. I couldn't find anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what, you can find the Jack Benny birthday special.
Okay.
It's on there.
All right.
And he's on there with Lucille Ball. And that's a live performance.
All right.
And, yeah, and he does, like, The Impossible Dream.
Right.
Yeah, and another song. He sings a song to Jack, and Jack's glasses break. You know, it's a really funny moment. Sort of a comedic moment.
Yeah, I was looking for the...
I remember watching that live with Michael Sherwood.
Really?
In 69 in my parents' bedroom. And, on the first remote control TV I think ever made. But yeah, we got a big kick out of that, you know, when my dad hits this high note and then Jack's glasses, that scene, you know, it's like, they're cracked, you know.
I, w- I want to get this on record. You babysat Billy Sherwood when he was in diapers, and Billy is currently the bass player of Yes. So everybody needs to know that.
Right. Put that together. That's pretty wild. Well, his mom always said, you know, you play so well with Billy. You know, he loves you. Why don't you just watch him? You know, we can, you know, pay you for that. So.
Yeah.
My first job.
Yeah, Billy's a great guy. I like Billy. I met him a couple of times. Nice guy, really nice guy. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and he was 2 years old when I first met him.
Wow.
Okay, he's 6 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So maybe he was one because I was seven when I first met Mike. So, but I started watching Billy at around two or three.
Yeah.
Because his parents were always really busy.
Right. Right.
And you know they would work nights. You know, nights until like 4 and 5 in the morning.
It's tough. So. It's tough having a showbiz family because, yeah, you know, I talked to Lucy Arnaz and we talked, you know, she never saw her mom and dad, you know?
Right, right.
Same thing.
Yeah. I know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You interviewed Lucy Arnaz, huh? That's cool.
Yeah, Lucy's cool. I'm half Cuban and, you know, of course she is too. She's.
Right, right.
So we hit that's it off right. pretty well. And I loved your dad. Desi was so cool, you know? Such a smart guy.
Yeah, smart guy is right.
Yeah. So.
And, yeah, very suave.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
So, what do you got going on right now? What's happening in your life?
Well, I have a new band.
Okay.
I have a new band, I can't give any other info.
All right.
Because, you know, everything has to be, like, signed and all
right,
that.
Right, right.
So that's coming up, and that's going to be really great, and it's with some people that you know of.
Okay.
And, also I've been working on my own solo album.
Awesome.
For like a couple of years.
Right.
But I'm still not happy with it. You know, it takes a while for me to really be ready to let go, you know. Even though, you know, I write like so much music every day, like for commercials and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I once said to my daughter, I said, wow, isn't it incredible that Prince wrote a song a day?
Yeah.
And she's like, Dad, you do the same thing. And I was like, ah. You know, but mine aren't hits. You know, they're just like, you know, commercials and movie stuff. But anyway, so I got that going on. And there's also a father-daughter album.
Oh, wow. That'd be great.
My daughter, yeah.
Yeah. You know, she's an awesome singer.
Yeah, she really is, man.
Yeah.
And I use her for a lot of things because she's so professional. She's quick. She's spot on, you know, pitch-wise.
Uh-huh.
And she just gets it. So, yeah, she's like my go-to for singers, for, you know, female singers.
You know, I heard some of the interviews she did, too. She's so nice. She's so,
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter who's interviewing her. Or at what level, she just turns on the charm. She's got a great personality.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, man.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, she used to work at the Disney Channel on a show called Movie Surfers, and she would interview people.
Right.
So she got really good.
She's good at it.
You know, one-on-one, you know, stuff like that. So she just, you know, knows how to bring warmth and everything to a conversation, and you just feel good, you know. Yeah, I'm really proud of her.
Yeah, she has the Han Solo project. She's got Stronger Than We Know, which is from Brave New Girl, which is an incredible song. You know,
yeah.
She's really good at that. Another great song is Broken that she did.
Yeah.
She's incredible. I really hope lots of great things for her because she deserves it. She's got a lot of talent.
I'm glad you looked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's actually, in the process of, she's a director too.
Oh, really?
She's got a new movie coming out.
Okay.
And she's actually finishing up the screenplay, but, it's tremendous. It's really, really great. And, so she's, you know, really involved in that. And, you know, she's got, things that she does on the side musically.
Right.
And with, you know, with me too. So, and she's married to a wonderful guy.
Good. Good.
You know, like, yeah, I love him. He's just, you know, everything a dad would want, you know.
awesome. So, really. That's the most important thing. We got to approve of our daughter's, you know, other halves.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I've been through a couple where it's like, oh, okay, I hope she gets out of this one.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I do. My daughter is a teacher, and she married another teacher, and I got a son that's also married with three kids, and they've got identical twin girls. I've got a fifth grandchild on the way.
Wow.
Yeah. So
amazing.
They keep me busy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
But your daughter's got two movies in post-production, right? She's got Holy Trip and Hanky Panky, I think. Coming
Hanky
out.
Hanky Panky is one she wrote and directed.
Oh, wow.
Actually, her and her husband wrote and directed.
Really?
And she directed it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. that's coming up. And I'll be doing the music for that. I do the music for most of her stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, and her husband also does commercials from time to time, and I'll do the music for those. You know, he's in the political arena.
Mm-hmm.
So also he's also a writer.
Right.
So but he puts out these political ads, and I'll do the music for that.
Right.
But so
I'm really impressed with your commercial work.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot, and you and Jonathan, right, Elias? Hooked up, I guess, and I guess you work together on a lot of these things.
Yes, and you know how it all happened is Steve Picaro suggested me for the Anderson Bruford Wakeman album.
Okay,
because they were feeling like Steve Howe wasn't giving them classic Steve Howe anymore.
Right.
So they took it into their hands. And they hired Jonathan to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan said, well, you know, I really need somebody who's more Steve Howe than Steve Howe is right now. So Steve Picaro knew how into Steve Howe I've always been.
Yeah.
And so Steve was called to the keyboards on that album. And Steve said, hey, get, you know, Jimmy Hahn, because he's really, you know, he could have said Steve Lukather there, but Luke is a little, he's on a, you know, different.
Right.
Different approach.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's how I got in there, and then Jonathan and I became friends, and Jonathan started saying, hey, do you want to help me out with some commercial stuff, you know? And, that's how I kind of just fell into it. At first I was like, no, I don't really want to do this, but, money.
But, you know, you and Billy, you know, you guys are both admirers of Yes, and look, you're part of the band now. I mean, that's a dream come true.
Well, especially Bill, you know.
Yeah.
It was a dream come true for me, that's for sure.
Right.
And like I said, Steve Picaro got me that job. Billy had already kind of been on the other side of Yes with, you know, Raven and them. But I entered on the other side, you know, independently of Billy.
Right.
So, which is really kind of funny. And, you know, I never met Rick. I haven't met Rick Wakeman. I haven't met Steve Dow either. But I know all the other guys, you know.
Right.
Of course, Tony and Alan's a really great friend.
Alan's a good guy.
Chris was great too, man.
Yeah.
You know.
You
interviewed Chris, didn't you?
I interviewed Chris, John Anderson twice, Alan White. He's on the show. I got him on the radio show.
Right.
You know, Billy twice.
Right.
Who else? God, everybody. Oh, Jeff, also the keyboard player.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Very cool.
Just about everybody. Yeah. Everybody but Steve.
Did you ever get Rick Wakeman?
No, I haven't done with Rick Wakeman yet. I did Patrick Moran. I know Patrick. Patrick lives here in Florida. Yeah, because that's one of my favorite albums is Relayer. I love Relayer.
Yes, I do too, man.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite albums. I think Sound Chaser is just about my favorite.
Yeah.
You know? And To Be Over is just amazing, too. Probably Steve's best guitar solo in that one, I think.
Well, I want to tell everybody to go on YouTube and check out your melody of Yes Hits. That's with Circa, right? Was that with Circa?
Yeah, that's right.
And okay. It's amazing because you go from one song into another song. I mean, that's not easy. That's, you know, Steve Howe plays some complicated stuff, man.
Well, you know, because of the time signatures. That's the problem. It's like, you know, and we there was a couple times, you know, that we kind of went into the wrong thing for a second.
Right.
And that's like a train wreck because, you know, you're going into, like, close to the edge, right? The beginning close to the edge, but, you know, kind of accidentally you're playing And You and I, which is completely different, you know, tempo. That happened to us once.
Yeah, I was looking around, and I say, who's playing steel guitar? And then I see you turned around, and you're playing steel guitar with your guitar strapped on you. I said, wow, man, this guy can do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Billy's double neck. That's a really nice double neck. Old Fender. Steve has the same guitar, I think.
Really?
No. Yeah, Steve Howe has that same guitar, yeah.
You're a one-man yes show, really.
That's so funny.
You know, there's a guy on YouTube that does a one-man Genesis. I don't know if you saw him or not. He plays keyboards, drums.
I saw a guy do a one-man yes. You know, he does Roundabout. Is it the same guy?
I don't know. This guy does Genesis perfectly. You know, he does the drums, he does the organ, he does every part. And puts it all together, and the guy's fantastic. He sounds just like Genesis, yeah.
It might be the same guy.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be the same guy.
He's playing the bass, the guitar, the keys,
right.
The drums, yeah.
Really neat stuff. It's amazing what you can do today now in the studio.
I know. Yeah, there's a ton of talent out there, man. And you know, it's coming through on YouTube and stuff that you probably never would have been exposed to.
Exactly.
You know?
But, you know, a lot of these guys should be on terrestrial radio. I mean, we, you know, like the old days, you know, you know, they should be, even you should be, I mean, I'm sure you made good money with the commercial stuff, but you could be in like 10 different bands with your talent.
Yeah, it's all time. You know, it's like commercials take time, you know?
Yeah, they do.
And being in a band does too. So that's why I had to opt out of Yoso. And Circa, I didn't have all that time, you know. It was really stressful because I'd be on the road and writing commercials in my hotel room, you know, on my laptop and then be called for sound check, you know, and then come back after sound check, try to finish the thing, you know, so I wasn't getting sleep and it was kind of a mess, you know, kind of a mess.
Yoso was a good band though, you know.
It's
a shame.
It was a really great band. We went to Frankfurt. Or the music, what is that, the music festival out there? Massa, something. We played a set out there. We all went out there, and that was sort of like, okay, this is a little much for me right now, you know. So that's kind of when we came back, I stepped out for a while. So, but you know, I'm. Like I said, there is a new band coming up I can't announce, but I'm really excited about that because I love playing out. You know, it's been 10 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I've done little gigs here and there, like with my daughter and stuff.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but not.
Yeah, you're due.
Yeah.
You're definitely due.
I am.
You know. Jeez.
You know, I'm not getting younger yet.
None of us are.
Yeah. So,
well, at least you're not still touring in your 80s or 90s because some guys are still doing that.
I know.
Yeah, John Mayall. Yeah. One of them.
I mean, isn't you know, Stones are getting up?
Oh gosh,
that,
yeah, they are.
You always got to go to the Stones because it's amazing. They're still, you know, people love to go see them, and you know
they still sell out stadiums. It's amazing, like you said,
and
you
they sound great.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, another band that you were in, you know, Logic, the album Bringing Me Back.
Yep.
That Bringing Me Back, that was a great track. I think that was one of my favorite tracks on the album.
Billy wrote that.
Did he write that?
Yeah.
Huh? You could tell the band was kind of a precursor to Circa in a way. You know, you can kind of hear hints of Circa in the band. But
it's very true, and you know that album Nomadic Sands, There's some little gems on that album.
There is.
There's some other stuff that is really derivative, though, that, you know, it's hard for me to listen to because I know what we were, you know, trying to do. but there's other songs that really stand, I think.
Red Light?
And I think
Red Light?
We may re-record some of that, you know.
You should.
Some of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy and I were talking about that. So.
Red Light was a great song. Step Back, another good tune from that album.
Yeah.
You know?
Step Back is on that. Wow.
Yeah.
You know that the chorus of that is step back into the future.
Uh-huh.
And that was written before Back to the Future.
Wow.
And so I was like, why didn't they just pick this song up, you know?
Yeah.
Just for the movie, but it wasn't to be. But, yeah, I think Michael Sherwood wrote that one. I mean, he was the one who started. We all kind of chipped in on everything, but... So you listened to that, huh?
I did. It was a great album. I really, you know, I do my homework, man.
That's awesome.
And you know, Circa was also a great band. Is there any chance of that coming back again?
I think so.
You think so?
Okay. I think so. That incarnation.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I really loved that music. And like that, the first album was really great.
Very,
I mean,
very good. Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of fun to play that stuff. Really complicated band, you know? Like, some of those sections are just, wow, you really gotta count and just be on top of things. And, you know, you can't have had a drink or anything and play that music. You know? Yeah, just that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You really gotta keep on your toes.
Yeah, I talked to Todd Rundgren when they did the reunion of Utopia, you know, same thing. You know, he was saying, you know, they had to get back and relearn everything, and, you know, a lot of it was complicated, you know.
Yeah, I think, didn't Utopia open for Yes with not too long ago, I think.
Probably.
Or yeah. Maybe it was just Todd.
Maybe just Todd, yeah.
And I think he
it was Todd.
Player there because Billy liked his bass player a lot. And I remember going and seeing that show, and Billy was like, hey, yeah, bass player's here. I think it was bass player's name, but, he was doing something with Yes, like only about 3 years ago, and then Carl Palmer had his thing.
Yep.
And they were opening for Yes as well. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carl Palmer did, he had, God, what's wrong with me? You know, I Am the God of Hell, Arthur Brown was...
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was cool.
You know, Mike and I used to laugh at that song, man. It's just, it's kind of a funny...
I love that song.
I don't know, like, just the way he delivered the vocal, especially at the beginning, you know.
I interviewed Arthur Brown. He's
that's great.
What a nice guy. Really good guy. We're talking, you know, he doesn't do the fire in his hair anymore because it catches on fire.
I was going to say, what, did he burn it all up?
Just about, yeah.
But yeah, I met him, too. I met him last year.
Uh-huh.
I went and saw Billy in Vegas when they were with Yes, but Arthur Brown was opening, I think. Too. But yeah, really nice guy.
Good, really good guy. Yeah, and very talented. Right. He's got a good voice. Huh? You know, people don't realize what a great voice the guy's got.
I know, and it's amazing that Palmer came from that.
I know, I know.
Yeah, it's like wow, it's so different than what ELP turned into.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like a tremendous ELP fan, man. Like, Steve Picaro used to laugh. He's like, I wouldn't think you'd be into a keyboard band, you know? I'm like, no, man. Keith's notes, you know, that whole band, I mean, you know, Greg's voice was just so rich.
Yeah.
So full and beautiful.
And of course, King Crimson, you know, he was great in King Crimson. He was.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But him and John Wetton was also good. He had a good voice, too. Wetton had a good voice.
Yeah, Wetton had a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss those guys. I miss those guys.
Kind of fill in those shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does the creative process now work with your commercial stuff? Because I know you were involved with some biggies, okay? Like Yahoo. How did that happen? I mean,
Yahoo was a nothing place, you know, nothing company yet. So they just came to us for a logo.
Right.
And, it was a buyout. Okay. So, we didn't know how big these guys were going to be. So, wrote the Yoda logo, and, years later, like about 5 years later, when Yahoo really went big, the singer who sang on there, like, sued, Yahoo. But he had signed a contract that, released it. But still, he won that suit, and he got like $5 million.
Really?
Yeah, but he was the voice on that. But I have, recordings of me singing that first.
Right.
But they were like, well, let's get a real Yoda in. That's what we did. And his name is Wild E. Coyote. Yeah. So, and, I've been able to work with some greats, man. I've played with B.B. King on some commercials, and David Bowie.
Yep.
Those are on the XM radio commercials.
Right,
the early
right,
ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And Nike.
Yeah, that was really exciting.
Yeah, you did Nike.
Yeah, Nike. A lot of Nike.
Expedia.
What's that?
Expedia, which I use all the time.
Oh, yeah, Expedia.com. Yeah. Remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't use that logo anymore. Yeah. I don't even think they have one. But, also, there's some recent tracks, and some of them you might go, oh no. But, that Ozempic commercial? Oh,
yeah.
Ozempic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me singing that.
Oh, that's you? Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I know. I get kind of irritated because that thing pops up all the time. And then there's Taco Bell commercial that's out that you may have heard, when your morning is hell, just go to Taco Bell.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's me too.
That's you too?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those are funny little things, but
that's cool. Yeah. You know who does some of that, man?
Sometimes, like anything, it can be really stressful.
Right, deadlines
and stuff. That's why, like last week, I was supposed to do the interview with you, but I got pulled away.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Sit in a room maybe with uh-huh. Jonathan and collaborate until somebody comes up with an idea, or
it's usually just solo, I'll be in a room all by myself.
Really?
And then if he has an idea, he'll come in. But Jonathan and I don't work at a company anymore. We both work from home.
Okay.
So and I'm freelance too, and I work for a lot of other places. Only Elias, but some other music houses.
Yep.
JSM and Shindig and just for a few. So
you're a busy guy.
But I really miss playing out live.
Yeah.
Really do. And I've been with this new band coming up. I've been woodshedding and just practicing like crazy. Like my favorite, probably my favorite player is John McLaughlin.
Uh huh.
So I've been just learning his stuff, I was never able to play it, but now, I just love it so much, I just have to learn it, so I've been learning a lot of his stuff. Of course, Jeff Beck is amazing.
Yeah.
And then, Steve Howe, those are my top three.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Diamond Dust is probably one of my favorite songs of all time from Jeff Beck.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He's incredible.
Totally.
I'm friends with Billy Cobham, and I get a lot of input with him. He does a lot of teaching now. He teaches,
What did you say?
He teaches. He'll teach, drum lessons. And a lot of these guys teach,
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great, to get back. I'd like to do something like that one day,
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's been good for me, so should give something back.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Carol Kay?
Carol Cobham.
Carol Kay, from,
sure.
The Wrecking Crew. She does, Skype lessons.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is. And she's actually a great guitar player.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
yeah, that's how she started.
Huh.
And somebody told her somewhere along the way, look, they seem to be needing a lot of bass players lately, you know, like electric bass.
Right, right.
You know, because there was just a lot of upright players,
exactly.
Like early 60s and stuff. So,
yeah.
So she picked up a Fender bass and
yep.
That was it. And you know, she's contributed like so dramatically to so many songs.
Yeah.
You know, like The Beat Goes On for one.
Exactly.
You know, story behind that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like a drone note.
Yep.
You know, and then she came up with bow, 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 bow,
yep.
bow, 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 which totally made that song.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah, she helped the Beach Boys and a lot of tunes and.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I had Graham Russell on the show, another nice guy from Air Supply. How long were you playing with Air Supply?
From like 87 to 94.
Oh, that's a long time.
And yeah, it's a long time. I was really, you know, I played on and wrote with them too, like on two or three albums.
Right.
And yeah, and we would tour. Not a lot of touring with them. I would say probably 2 to 3 months a year, you know, but it worked out great. I didn't have to be locked into, you know, a regimented, situation with them. Maybe it was like, hey, can you do this, tour with us? You know, and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I could take a few, you know, a month or two off. So, but they're lovely guys too.
They are.
Yeah. I talked to Russell a lot. I talked to Graham when I had my, that I had an accident, you know, back in 2011, and I was in the hospital, and Graham came in and, you know, brought me a teddy bear, and that was in Utah.
Wow.
But he was really kind, and I'll talk to him every once in a while. But that was a lot of fun, that band.
Yeah, they came up with a lot of hits. I tell you that.
They sure did.
Yeah, good band, very good band. And still very active.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we used to kind of, like, a little bit make fun of them, you know, before. Yeah, and Michael and I, you know, but then we realized, like, how great these guys truly are,
yeah.
Like, the songwriting, you know,
yeah.
and stuff, so.
Yeah, you're like me. I grew up with a lot of music enthusiasts and bands in high school, and of course, you know, all the, you know, we call them wimpy, I guess, bands,
yeah.
You know, but
right.
As you get older, you appreciate the talent in these groups, you know, and,
yeah.
But you know, you,
you
I,
know,
go ahead, right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say on that wimpy thing, you know, yes, that we were called that, but then I saw one article and it said something about and wimp rock band, yes. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
I think it'd be a wimp rock band.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, maybe some stupid review up again.
But, you know, when you grow up with Tall and Yes and Black Sabbath and, you know, and Deep Purple, you know, everybody
yeah.
becomes wimpy after that, you know?
No, I know.
Yeah.
But Air Supply is not wimpy at all.
No,
so,
not at all.
I can put that down on the record.
Yeah, yeah, no. They're a great band. Graham, I love you.
Yeah.
They are awesome.
Yeah. I want to go hear that interview you did with Graham.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. All my interviews, all my radio interviews are on YouTube. And
okay.
I had a column before that for 5 years. And a lot of that material is going in the book. But, it, you know, I can do 8, 9, 10 different series if I want of interviews. That's how much material
amazing.
I got. Yeah. And a lot of guys aren't with us anymore, you know, like Greg Lake and Keith Emerson
yeah.
and, you know, Chris.
It's incredible. It is, man. It's like, I feel like the last 6 or 7 years that we've just, like, gone into another universe.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Stuff has changed so much.
So much. You're right.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys aren't around.
Well, that's why we need you, and like you said, new music, new bands, you know? You guys got to
yeah.
take over, no, you
thanks.
Know?
Thanks, man. I'm definitely going to, you know, try to carry the torch.
You're a great guitar player, man. I never saw anybody play Yes like you do.
Thanks, man.
You are incredible.
I guess it comes from just an appreciation, you know, Steve, and pretty much how, you know, Steve, when he does the guitar part, it's not like he's just soloing. He's creating these melodies.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. And he's never been one that would go into cliche blues licks ever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's always been this melodic, from this melodic place that always, like, I've been just blown away by, you know? So.
I could see Steve Howe retiring and you taking over. You and Billy and Yes.
Yeah, right?
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I was not happy when they booted John Anderson out, and I let Chris Squire know it.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. I told him. I said, you know, he came up with the excuses that he was sick, and you know, they had to move on and all this stuff. You know, but
right.
I'm a big John Anderson fan. You know,
are you?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I love John too, and I love the other John.
Yeah,
John Davidson is an amazing singer too. You know.
Well, see, I'm a diehard Yes guy, and I never accepted him.
Gotcha.
John Anderson is still John Anderson. You know, it's.
No, I know.
Yeah.
He definitely created that.
Right.
That sound, yeah.
It was tough, you know. It's tough to replace guys like that, you know. There are some bands today with no guy, you know, like the Little River Band, there's nobody, no original members in the band. And they're still touring, you know. I just talked to David Clayton Thomas about Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I mean, he's saying, you know, they're a cover band. They're not Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Wow. Did he say that?
Yeah, he did. He was mad about it, too.
I love him, man. He's great. And I'm good friends with the drummer for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Bobby Columbi.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
Drummer.
He produced Logic for a little bit.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Knew that.
Really, really great guy, too.
Yeah.
Great drummer, man. You listened to those tracks back then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great band. Great band.
Oh, love that band.
Way ahead of their time, you know?
Yep. One of my favorite songs is God Bless the Child, right?
Yeah.
That they did?
Yeah.
And my friend Mike Finnegan,
yeah,
used to do a version of it too with his Hammond, you know?
Right.
It was amazing. Like, that's the one thing I remember from going and seeing Mike is him doing that song.
You know, Mike is underrated for his voice. He's got a hell of a voice, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've used him on a lot of commercials, you know? You've heard him on stuff out there.
Right.
He's got like this, you know, this gravelly.
Yeah.
He can do like an old blues guy.
Or exactly.
He can do, you know, like Leonard Cohen type voice, you know? And yeah, but man, on the Hammond, I've never seen or heard anybody who could play it.
Yep.
Like Mike. You know, he makes that thing breathe. He like, you know, he works the pedals and the, you know, both keyboards, and it's like this monster. So crazy.
Well,
yeah.
Jimi Hendrix liked them.
I worked with Mike on that BB King thing for XM Radio.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Yeah. I got a couple recordings, and BB let us just jam too. He's like, let's just jam with the boys. So I got some cool blues jams, you know, with BB and Mike and Neil Steubenhaus on bass. And
oh, really?
Armin Grimaldi on drums. Yeah. Oh no, sorry. I think it was Ralph Humphries on drums, actually. Yeah.
You were working with an artist way back. I just want to know what happened. Is it Noella Hutton?
Yeah, Noella Hutton.
Yeah.
She's coming back, man. She's doing an album right now. Yeah, and she's going to be doing some of the things we wrote together.
Uh-huh.
It's funny you would bring that up because her producer, I haven't talked to her in like 10 years.
Wow.
Her producer just like got a hold of me last week, and he was like, hey, can we do these songs, you know? I'd love to get your blessing. I'm like, yeah, for sure, you know? So she's in Ireland.
Yeah.
And she's doing it there. She's a real talent, man.
Yeah, she is.
If you can look her up.
Yep.
She's got an amazing bluesy, gravelly voice.
Very,
you know?
Very different. Very different. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Jimmy, here's a question I ask everybody, and I get some interesting answers, okay?
Okay.
If you had a Field of Dreams wish like the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Okay. That's a good question, isn't it? Okay, collaboration. Well, I would have to say John McLaughlin.
Yeah.
In some way, because he's torn with this guy, Jimmy, and I was like, God, I wish I was that guy, you know? I mean, that would be amazing. But I mean, that's just on the player level.
Right.
As far as songwriting and stuff, man, I love Greg Lake, you know?
Yeah.
Or even Keith. And
yeah.
Keith's a great guy. Did you interview Keith?
I did.
Yeah.
Keith, I'm on Wikipedia, with a lot of the interview I did with Keith, because he told me the whole story about the flying piano in California Jam.
Right.
And that's all on Wikipedia. Somebody grabbed it and put it on there, I guess. But it was, such a nice guy. We talked for a long time, and I was heartbroken, you know, and.
Me too, man.
When he passed away. Yep.
Yeah, we met up in Frankfurt, they were giving him an award.
Right.
You know, and that's when we were out doing the music festival. But anyway, he took Circa and, or Yoso, it was Yoso at the time, and took us out to a really nice dinner, which I think I have a picture of it on my Facebook page.
Okay.
That night, you know. But, yeah. That's all I can think of right now.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to hang up and I'm going to go, oh, you know.
You can email it to me if you remember something.
Okay. Yeah, it could have been there somehow.
Jimmy, you got anything else you'd like to promote or chat about? I'm excited about the two albums coming out. Your solo album and this mystery band that you're going to be part of, which I'm dying to know who it is.
I was like, I asked, you know, hey, some of the members, can I say something? No, not yet. I asked. So, they're like, don't pull that trigger yet. So
is it going to be music that you're kind of familiar with? Like we know that kind of defines you? Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right. Cool.
No doubt about it.
Cool. I'm excited.
I mean, it's all finished. You know, we finished the album, so.
The album is finished. When is the album coming out?
That's why I can't say.
You don't know yet.
Like, we haven't inked it yet, you know, so
okay.
I'm not really sure.
All right.
But it should be soon.
Well,
yeah.
What I'll do, when it comes out, I'll review it, and we'll chat about it on the air and promote the hell out of it. How's that? And your solo album.
That'd be great.
What about your solo album? Is that done or not yet?
Not yet. I give that about 6 more months.
Okay.
And the same thing with the father-daughter project. We're still going through songs, you know, and figuring out that whole thing. So, yeah, everything is about 6 months away, I guess.
That's not bad. At least it's not next year. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe before the end of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, give my best to your daughter and your wife.
I will.
Your daughter.
She's calling me right now.
Is she really?
On the other side. So I'll get her when we hang up here. But.
All right. Well, go ahead and email me about what we discussed before.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can work together.
That'd be great, Ray.
All right, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to great things.
It's an honor, man. Really, thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Take care.
Okay, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information about Jimmy Hahn, visit www.jimmyhahn.com. Also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/jimmy.hahn.1. And to find out all the incredible commercials that were collaborated and produced and made and created by Jimmy Hahn, go to jimmyhahn.com/commercials.html, and that's on his website. Very special thanks to Kara Hahn for arranging this interview with Jimmy Hahn and the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsom of VBS Radio for making magic happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It's real news. And of course, buy my new book entitled The Rockstar Chronicles, Truths, Confessions, and Wisdom from the Music Legends That Set Us Free. Order yours today on hardcover or ebook at bookbaby.com or amazon.com, featuring over 45 intimate conversations with some of the greatest rock legends on the planet. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com, specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on VBS Radio, Station 1.